Take your Bible to Matthew 24, and we'll look at this. Our theme for the month, if you will, or our focus for the month, I should say, is serving the Lord. So we'll look at this, Matthew 24. Again, you know your Bible pretty well. You probably know where we're going. Remember, the Lord is talking here, and he's speaking in portions. He's speaking to his disciples. Other portions, he's speaking to others. And down in verse 42, if you will, he says, "Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, shall begin to smite his fellow servants, to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, a large portion of these chapters, 23, 24, 25, really do have to do with end times, really what we would call that eschatology. But the portion here he's talking about, and the point trying to make here, is the serving of the Lord and not being caught, being a lazy or lackadaisical servant in serving the Lord. That's a part of it. That's not all the main focus of it, but I wanted to pull that out if I could. Now, again, in your notes, notice that someone has said that the greatest ability is dependability. And, you know, that is true, isn't it? You can think of a time maybe in your workplace environment or something. You look at one coworker and go, boy, this guy's not too sharp, but at least he shows up all the time. You know, at least he's here. And so thinking through this, now anyone can be dependable if he chooses to do so. It doesn't require a great deal of skill to do it. It does require character. Anyone can quit, but it takes someone of good character to continue in the work of the Lord when it becomes difficult. Now again, just to kind of boast in you folks that almost everyone in here, you've had a job probably since you're about 13, 14, even maybe even earlier than that, but you've all worked your entire life. And you've proven to be faithful, and it does. It takes a lot of character. Anybody can quit, but you've proven that. And now the Lord asks us now, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Now, notice David lamented this. He said in Psalm 12, but remember what he says. He says, "Help, Lord." Well, why? For the godly man ceaseth. He says, there's none around. They all stop serving. They've become lazy and quit, failed. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Well, Solomon goes on to say this in Proverbs 20 and verse 6. He says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. He says, everyone, I'll boast of that. I'm good, I'm faithful, I do this, I do that. But notice he says, but a faithful man who can find. Very humble, very quiet about it. They don't boast in those things. Also, a second part to that, who can find it? Where are they? There's none around. Okay. So there's a great need for faithful men and women today. We know that. Where are those who show themselves worthy of trust in the transaction of business, execution of commands, or discharge of official duties? Where are the ones who can be relied on? If you are born again, Jesus Christ has something for you to do for him. And that's something a lot of people don't grasp, is that God has something for you to do. And they find, you and I will find joy, and you already know this, but in serving the Lord. It's not the job like a job. It's not a work where you labor. It's a job or it's a laboring thing where you receive true reward. It's that, man, I love serving. And the more you serve and the more you're faithful in that. So God has a job for all of us. He greatly desires your faithful service. Every Christian ought to be faithful. They ought to be a faithful servant. There definitely is a job for you in the service of Christ. You and I are stewards of certain things God's given us, and he requires stewards to be found faithful. If you're being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in your daily life, you are earning for yourself a rich reward. If you're not, it would be wise to correct that now before it's too late. And that's true, before it's way too late. Now, again, as we've studied a little bit on faithfulness and being a steward, I wanted to point again out, number one, that faithfulness is truly required. If we're going to truly serve the Lord, you've got to be faithful and you got to show up. How many people probably never got to see God's blessings and answers to prayer because they just didn't come back to church? You know, they just didn't show up. And it's not easy to serve the Lord. There's challenges. It's difficult. There's things that come into our lives, like the dear lady we just prayed for. Her husband is a pastor of a church there in Southern California. Boy, why did the Lord take her home? She was being faithful, doing everything she's supposed to do. And so we don't understand that, but we should be and must be faithful. Now, you know this verse, but 1 Corinthians 4:2, he says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Now, if you're not a steward, then you don't have a requirement. But because you're a steward of God, because you're a servant of God, because you're a child of God, you're saved, now you're set apart. He says, now there's a requirement. That's faithfulness. And this message is hard to preach to you people because you are faithful, okay? And I really wish we'd get some of our folks from Sunday morning here on Wednesday to hear some of this because of that, of being faithful, because truly they're missing out. We know that. Just on being faithful and knowing you're doing what God wants you to do. So notice a few things here under that faithful is required. Well, first, the unfaithful servant hinders others. Again, notice what he says there in Matthew 24:48. "But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite," notice, "his fellow servants, eat, drink with the drunken." He's not a very good friend. He's kind of a bad example. He's a terrible example. And we know that. So unfaithful servants hinders other people. That's something that I wish many people would understand, that when we're unfaithful, people say, "Well, I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I didn't tell them to not be faithful. It's what I want to do. I just decide not to show up." Well, that hurts other people. It always does, doesn't it? We're not where we're supposed to be. And I'm not talking about just church attendance. I'm talking about other areas. If we're not faithful in these things, it hurts people. It hurts other people. And if you have kids, you know that, because they'll bring that up from time to time, okay, of what you did or didn't do. Letter B, notice the unfaithful servant will suffer loss. As we read verse 50 and 51, he'll suffer loss. Now notice 2 John I added here. 2 John 8, "Look to yourselves. Notice that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." We brought that verse out, I think it was last week. But be careful about it. He said, don't want to lose all of that. You don't want to lose that reward. Peter actually talks about this, and he reminds them of certain things, and he says, "He that forgets about all of this, he that doesn't add to his faith," is the text there, add to your faith, he does forget where he came from, that he was cleansed of his sins, of what Jesus did. We have a natural tendency to forget about all that God has done, and so being faithful reminds us of that, and you don't feel like always like coming to church or reading your Bible or standing up and being a Christian at work. It's hard to do it, but when you do it, there is reward, and we know that, and it greatly affects the people around us. Oh, that we would have the eye for the people around us, looking, reminded of all those around us that know not Christ. Okay, let me keep going. Number two, the faithfulness is exemplified. So faithfulness is required, but it's also exemplified for us. Notice God is faithful to save all who come to him. Now think about that verse for a minute, John 6:37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That's an amazing verse to study because, in fact, the whole text of John 6, you know, because it's anyone who comes to Christ, right? Now, he that was before a blasphemer came to Christ in Saul, remember, changed over to Paul, the Lord received him. Now, I was thinking about that, but if I knew somebody was just blasting me every day, I mean just talking trash, posting stuff online, I mean everything, and then they came to me and they didn't know that I knew all of that, and they said, "Hey, Tim, can I borrow $100? Man, you look good in that color today." And boy, you're one of my best buddies. I appreciate it. You're looking at him like, you dirty rascal. I know what you've been saying. He comes. Can you imagine the people that have come out of a wicked life and what they have said about Christ before? Now they came to the Lord and he saves them. Isn't that wonderful? So it's exemplified. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's faithful. There's questioning in the church at Corinth, by the way. There were people that were questioning, is God faithful? Can he save? Will he hear me? Can I trust him? Can I rely upon him? Oh, yes, you can. So it's exemplified. Letter B, God is faithful to deliver us from temptation and evil. Now, again, these verses you know very well, I'm sure, but again, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. It happens to everybody. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with that temptation, notice, make a way to escape, you may be able to bear it. So God is faithful. He will help you. If you call out to him, he'll help you. If you ask him, he'll help you. He's faithful. And it's good to have a faithful friend, a faithful coworker, faithful parent, a faithful brother or sister, faithful child. I mean, just being faithful. I know I can trust him. I know where he'll be. I know where they will be. So he's faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful who shall establish you, and keep you from evil. He's faithful. So here's the problem. Why do I sin and mess up and have a oopsie every once in a while? Well, it's not God. Why? Because he's faithful. He's always there. I'm the one drifting. I'm the one over here where I shouldn't be. I'm the one not keeping my eyes in this book or something of that nature. We must come back and say, if God is faithful, I can trust him. I was reading an article just last week about a young man who was an atheist. He was a devil worshiper, and he was worshiping Satan. He was satanic and all this. And he was just so convinced that there was no God because of, obviously, and if you read these stories, the person writing always comes from a very rough background. Somebody betrayed him. His parent was abusing him, and he was just very bitter at God and all the world. Well, I love it because he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, basically, I found out that God is the creator of everything. He's stronger than Satan. And so if he's stronger and bigger and created it all and is in control of all, I want to be on his side. You know, why would you be on the devil's side, who is weak, who is a created being, who will one day be destroyed? If you find out that God is in control, he's stronger, he's bigger, he's mightier, he's all-powerful, why would you not want to be on his team? And that's basically how he put it. And I love that because that's so true, isn't it? Why would you dabble in this nonsense garbage over here? Why would you choose to be on the losing basketball team when you could be with all the seven-footers over here? You know? I want to be where God is, and I want to be on his team. Now notice this, he will deliver. He's faithful. Letter C, can I say God is faithful to preserve us for heaven? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Here it is. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole soul, or spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called to you, who also will do it. Now again, in the church there at Thessalonica, they struggled with that. They said, well, are we going to make it to the end? Are we going to persevere? All right? We've heard that before with the Calvinists especially. Can I persevere? Now, it's God that's helping you. If it was up to me, boy, I'd be lost again, over and over and over again. So he's faithful. He's faithful to preserve us. Letter D, God is faithful to keep us when we doubt. 2 Timothy 2:11, it's a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. They strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. He says, don't waste your time dabbling in this stuff. Know and understand God is faithful. He'll take care of you. He'll provide. Letter E, then, God is faithful to keep us when we're persecuted. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. And I love how he uses the word creator there. He doesn't use the word faithful God, which he could have. And we would have said, oh yeah, we get it. Why do you use the word creator? When we come back and realize how and why God created us the way we are and who we are. Why? Because people doubt. And they say, listen, I'm suffering right now probably because I'm not as good as that person. I'm suffering probably because they have it better, whatever. No, he created you the way he did for a reason. He's a faithful creator. He knows what he's doing. Letter F, God is faithful to forgive us when we sin. 1 John 1:9, you know this verse. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, many people don't understand that. They think that they sin, they mess up, God's mad at them. That's not how it works. It's been covered under the blood already, if you're saved. Okay, it's covered. Your sins are covered. What is the point of this? We know. We come back and say, Lord, I want to be in right standing with you. I don't have to get saved again, right? You're not, quote unquote, mad at me. What is it? I need to get in right standing with you. I want you to know, I acknowledge my sins. And so understanding, it's coming back to the heart matter. He forgives us. Now, what I'm saying is, if God is faithful, we can be faithful because we are his children. And we know that. Okay, then that one, last one there, letter G, God is faithful to one day judge this world and set everything right. And I love this, that we see he will, he that sat upon, notice Revelation 19:11, that he that sat upon him was faith, called faithful and true, faithful and true. And that's one of his names. That's one of his titles, faithful. And I love that, faithful, faithful. Just being faithful, being there, knowing he's there, knowing he's trusting. I said to the church last week, preaching to the church there, I said, it's a good comfort to me to know that when my kids, when I'm dead and gone, and even when my kids grow up and they get old and die and are gone, and the grandkids, generation after generation, one thing that comforts me is this Bible will still be here. If the Lord tarries his coming, if the Lord doesn't shut this whole thing down, if he continues on, we know the Bible, it will still be here. Why? Because he's faithful. The gospel will be there. It will be available to us, to our grandkids, great, 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 and all down the line. We know it. So thirdly, then notice faithfulness is accomplished through simple tasks. And I don't mean to be a little bit elementary with this, but just reminding us of some daily tasks that we could take to be faithful. Again, talking about serving the Lord. How can I serve the Lord better? Well, one, we have to be faithful. If you will, go to 1 Timothy 4:13. This is something that he brings out to us repeatedly through the New Testament, but he really articulates it here, 4, verse 13. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He says, encourage, help, doctrinally, keep it. Neglect not the gift that's in thee, which is given to thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, of those spiritual leaders, laid the hands on him, and ordination, if you will, and helping. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all, to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in it, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So just an encouraging thing to Timothy with it. But I just put these, daily Bible reading and study. Read the Bible, find out what it says, believe the Bible, gain spiritual wisdom. Study the Bible, learn its freedom. I say these because you'd be surprised how many Christians, believers, don't do this. They just really don't even do this. And meditating upon the Bible to feed your spirit. Memorize the Bible to keep you from sin. We know it. Obey the Bible to protect yourself and to please God. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. We've said it so many times, right? Sin. Why don't you have a desire for the Word of God? Well, it's probably because we're I don't want to approach to the Word and to the Lord if I'm not where I should be. It's just uncomfortable. I want to study the Bible. Letter B, continuous prayer and supplication. We got to have that. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is a great verse for us to just continue in that. Continue in prayer. Talk to God. Express your heart to Him. Praise Him for what He is and what He has done. Plead with Him for the things you need and want. Petition Him on behalf of others. Truly, any relationship you have, that communication ought to be there. In marriage, you learn real quick, you got to have a lot of communication. You say, well, I don't talk a lot. Well, you learn quick. You better start. You learn quick. You're taking on a car, big trip or car ride. You better figure out some. Just bring something up. Look at that orange car there. Oh yeah, my favorite color. I don't like orange. Yeah, me neither. Well, what do you like? What do you want to talk about? And so you think about. There's that communication. We got to be talking to God, expressing our hearts to Him. Let Him know. Nothing's. And by the way, nothing's stupid or silly to the Lord. He already knows, right? Well, I don't want to say that because I feel He already knows that. I feel kind of silly. He wants to know. He wants to come to Him and communicate. Letter C, public worship. Hebrews 10:25. What's it say? Don't forsake that time of gathering together. Don't waste it and put it aside, but be a member of a local church. Letter D, cheerful giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7. And I noticed 3 to thrive. I forgot to remove that. We're 2 to thrive. We're going to come back with Sunday night someday. Okay. Cheerful giving, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Tithe, we know that. Total increase. Giving love offerings when you can. Give faithfully. Now, thinking through this on our service to God and being a servant for Him, and just saying, Lord, I want to be faithful in every area. And again, I said this before, but I said it to the church 2 weeks ago, the other church. I just said, just being where you're supposed to be. Just be here. And I had a man in the back. He was a little rough looking. And come to find out, I asked the pastor about him, and he had just recently started coming to the church, and he actually got kicked out of his place, and he's now kind of homeless, and they're trying to find him a place to live and all this. But he said about that guy, he said, hey, I got to give it to it. That guy is always faithful. He's always here. He always sits in the back on the same chair. And boy, I was so encouraged by that. I went over and talked to him. I said, man, good to have you. You know, he real rough kind of tire and things. And I said, man, I'm so glad to have you here. Glad you came. Just being faithful. He said, oh, I try to be faithful if I can. So thinking about it. Now, compassionate witnessing, these things we know. We don't have to walk through these things, but just being a faithful witness. And then number four, notice the faithfulness to encourage. I like this. 1 Corinthians 15. He says what? We ought to stay faithful. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abounding. I think I have it. Do I have the right one? Yeah. I probably have way too many verses on that. Can you keep going? What's the next one? Twinkling of an eye. Okay, keep going. Yeah, incorruptible, put on him. Yeah, you know where I'm going. Must put on immortality. Corruptible, put on. Okay, go to the next one. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Sting is death, is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the gift through victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, there it is, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's one thing that I struggle with, and sometimes you do too, I'm sure, is my labor in the Lord in vain? I mean, is it worth it? I don't know. I mean, you don't always see the results that you want and you would like. Where is it? Well, we ought to be faithful. It's encouraging. Now, we have the promise of being changed. Just walking through these verses, we have no need to fear death. We have continual victory through Christ. We have every reason to remain faithful. Every reason. Now, if we didn't have the necessary tools or abilities, then we could say, Lord, well, I would be faithful, but what's he saying here? We have everything we need. Every tool we need. Everything in our bodies we need. Some people don't physically have the ability to do certain things or walk. Maybe even we have some people that are blind or can't hear, they're deaf, but they still have find a way to serve God, don't they? And just being that faithful person. Now, as we serve the Lord, I want to encourage you with that, to just get active for God, some way, something. And one of them in our first message is just being faithful. So again, he says lastly, notice, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord returned and just found us being faithful, found us where we're supposed to be, found us serving, found us in church, found us being faithful in every area. Now, lastly, you must determine things he asks and do them without quitting. This is for our own benefit and for the good of others. I think I just went out, didn't I? Perfect timing. Okay. All right. Well, I hope you are serving the Lord faithfully. I say that because you folks do serve faithfully, and I appreciate all of you being so faithful in the things of God. Please continue to pray for others. We've got some folks in our church, and I wanted to say this lastly, if you can still hear me back there, but I want to encourage you, if you could encourage others, especially on Sunday morning, somebody you maybe don't normally talk to at church or something like that, if you just go over and talk to them, hey, how you doing? I want to encourage you a little bit. I wanted to encourage you to be faithful. Come out. We have Wednesday. Invite them to Wednesday service. Invite them to something. Maybe have them over for dinner or do something. I mean, whatever it is, just try to encourage them and try to get them. I want to really try to get some of our people back and being faithful. And I know that I'm talking again to our core people here. They're so good at that. And just being so faithful. But reach out to them and help and see if I can help. See what we can do, how we can help, whatever it is. Because I want to know how to serve, and we should be serving. And sometimes we find ways not to serve because there's not a lot to serve. There's not a lot to do, if you will. I don't know what to do. I don't know who to serve. And we can really try to emphasize, say, Lord, show us where, show us how to serve if we can. Anyways, I appreciate all of you being so faithful and serving, truly serving. And just always asking, always trying to find out, what can I do? How can I help? As we see tonight, though, that the Lord says, I'm looking for people I can use and use them to serve. And we know our greatest ability can be dependability. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming out tonight. Again, if you will, remember those in prayer, and looking forward to kind of a busy month coming up here. I know we got several of you might be traveling, I think, out of town. and other things. So we'll be praying for you as well. All right. Lord willing, we'll have a good Sunday. Looking forward to that. If you do need anything in the meantime, let me know, please. All right. We got some good rain, it sounded like. All right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening again and for your grace here. Thank you for taking care of us. Lord, I appreciate so much. Hard message to preach tonight, because everyone in this room truly exemplify service in the house of the Lord. And so I thank you for them. I pray for your help as we try to reach some more of our people and try to encourage them, try to really help them if we can. And I just pray that you'd strengthen us as your people in these last days that we live in. We thank and love you and pray for these on this list, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.